on September the 11th, can you show this picture, please? They flew this flag over the state capitol in Lansing on September the 11th. Thank you, Miss Linda. In honor of Restoration Church's 3-year anniversary, they flew this over the Capitol building. This will be in our front, or in the front of that church building, there will be a flagpole. They flew that over the state capitol in Lansing for us on September the 11th in honor of Restoration Church's anniversary. And then we have, I'm sorry? God bless America. So here, so now, hold on, because God bless America, because that one flew over the state capitol on September the 11th in honor of our anniversary. We have one that is on the way. It will be delivered next week, that flew over the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C. on September the 11th. And the certificate that was written says, in honor of Restoration Church's 3-year anniversary on September the 11th. And that flag is on the way, and it was flown at half staff as well for Charlie Kirk. And that's on the way. Amen. Happy anniversary, Restoration Church. Happy anniversary. 3 years. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, a few weeks ago, you know, we had started talking about spiritual warfare. And we started talking about spiritual attacks. You know, and the Lord had put it on our hearts to start talking about some of these things. I'm going to trip on that, I know. The Lord had put it on our hearts to start talking about some of these things that have been going on. And we need to recognize that the evil that is battling for your soul. I said, you need to recognize the evil that is out there that is battling for your soul, church. The bolder we get for Jesus, the bolder the enemy gets for us. Come on. Everybody say it's spiritual. Everybody say it's spiritual. It is pure, unadulterated, demonic evil what is going on in our world today. And we need Jesus more now than we ever have. We need the local church more now than we ever have. Amen. And Father, we pray right now against the demonic forces that are oppressing people in this country, God. Father, we pray that in this country where we can't disagree with someone without having to kill them, God, we pray right now for the senseless acts of violence, the pure, unadulterated evil that is going on in this country, God. This is not political. This is not left or right. This is good versus evil. And Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, God, we bind up all the evil forces that are coming against your people, God. Father, we bind up all the senseless acts of violence, God. We bind up all the school shootings, Lord. The shootings that are happening at Annapolis, Maryland, at the Naval Academy, God. Father, we bind up the evil one in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Hallelujah. It's a bad thing in this country when we call good evil and evil good. This is not about your sexual orientation, your political orientation. It's not about anything other than pure evil. That's it. It's pure evil. And it only gets worse. If you don't read this book and you don't understand what is going on, lawlessness will abound. You can't even get on a bus. The falling away is happening. Everybody say it's spiritual. We need to understand that we're fighting spiritual battles. I need you to understand that this is spiritual, church. We got to understand these spiritual battles that we're fighting. I'm not a demon chaser. I'm not a demon chaser. I'm not somebody who's one to overemphasize the power of Satan. But if we're not careful, the enemy wants us to just act like this stuff is not real. He wants us to act like this stuff is not real and the devil ain't real. And he can just run around and continue to run wild and just wreak havoc in our lives and in our world, in our society. And we shoot people that we don't agree with. That's what the devil wants you to do, is just act like this stuff ain't real. You can't fight an enemy that you can't recognize. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Come on, somebody. You better be strong in the Lord. You think the end times are, you think this is bad? You better be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, church. That's all you got to stand on right there. It's enough. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God. We broke that down a couple weeks ago. How many of y'all was here for that? Come on, we broke that down a couple weeks ago. We talked about all them pieces of armor. He said, verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the attacks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Notice, he said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Did you see that? But I think most Christians have taken that comma right there where it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And I think they've taken that comma and they moved it right up there behind we do not wrestle. And they changed it to a period. For we do not wrestle. Period. Oh, come on, somebody. For we do not wrestle. We do not wrestle, period, because we don't even hardly acknowledge that there is a devil in the church anymore. We don't. We don't even hardly acknowledge it anymore. Oh, just be blessed. Oh, just be blessed. Oh, go do this. Are you kidding me? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Look, it says we don't. They just move it up. Oh, we don't even wrestle. We just don't even wrestle. We don't wrestle with the enemy. If you're not praying, you're not wrestling. If you're not praying, you're not wrestling. If you're not praising, you're not wrestling with the enemy. If you're not taking the word of God, you're not wrestling with the enemy. I promise you, church. Come on, somebody. You're not wrestling. If you're not praying in the spirit, you're not wrestling. If you ain't a praiser and a worshiper, come on, somebody. You're not wrestling with the power of darkness. Do you know they do not fight with fleshly things? 2 Corinthians 10:4. Look what it says. For the weapons of our warfare are what? They don't fight fleshly things. If you're not praying, you ain't wrestling. If you ain't praising, you ain't worshiping, you ain't praying in the spirit, you ain't wrestling. Come on. Listen to this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Amen. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with fleshly weapons. I said you cannot fight a spiritual battle with fleshly weapons. Amen. So, there's what the Bible calls vexing spirits. They're tormenting spirits. It's a biblical term. Amen? It's a biblical term. They're called vexing. Everybody say vexing. They're called vexing spirits. They torment people's minds. Amen? They torment people's minds. They torment through depression. They torment through worry. They torment through excessive fear. They torment, they just torment, they torment, they torment, they torment your mind. They come at you. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. They come at you. They start just tormenting your mind. Well, yeah, you succeeded, but you're going to lose everything. Yeah, you're doing good, but you're going to get sick. Yeah, you're going to fall. Yeah, you're going to fail. You're going to die. Come on, they're tormenting spirits that just torment your mind. They torment people's mind. They're vexing spirits. The Bible talks about a woman who was vexed with a spirit, a tormenting spirit. Listen, the enemy just whispers suggestions. They're vexing spirits. The enemy just starts whispering suggestions. Just give up. Just kill yourself. End your life. Vexing spirits have to do with tormenting your mind. Listen carefully. The vexing spirits have to do with tormenting your mind. Just give up. Kill yourself. They start attacking you through shame. Come on, somebody. They start attacking you through condemnation, through worry, through fear, through depression. They just start getting you and they start pressing down on your mind in this spirit. And Isaiah 61:3 says this. Watch. It says, when you are faced with a vexing spirit that's trying to oppress your mind, it's trying to keep you down, it's trying to kill you, trying to keep you grieving, it's trying to keep you discouraged and hopeless, and it's trying to keep you in that negative, dark place. Amen, somebody. He said, put on the garment of praise for that spirit. Listen to me. Listen to me, that is a spirit. That's a vexing spirit, that spirit of heaviness that makes everything feel heavy. Come on, somebody. Makes everything feel heavy, makes life feel heavy. You're tormented. Come on. Who am I talking to? Somebody needs to hear this. He said you put on the garment of praise when that vexing spirit tries to torment you. He said you're to put on that garment of praise. Come on, somebody. It fights against the thoughts of depression, thoughts of hopelessness, thoughts of fear, thoughts of despair. Resist them. And as you humble yourself and you begin to put on praise. Well, what does that mean? That means you put on some music. Come on, somebody. You put on praise. That means you put on some music. And you begin to worship instead of listening to that taunting voice of the serpent. Come on, somebody. Instead of listening to that taunting voice of the serpent that's telling you you're going to die, it's telling you something bad is going to happen. Come on, stop listening to it. I'm talking to somebody. It's telling you something bad is going to happen, that you're going to die. There's something that is not the voice of God. That is not the voice of God. God is not telling you those things. Come on, somebody. God's voice will never tell you to be dreadful. God's voice will never tell you to be dreadful, to be worried, to be fearful, to be tormented. Never will the Holy Spirit give you a thought that tells you to do that. Never. And when you hear those thoughts and you hear them, put on the garment of praise. Don't listen to them. Come on. You put on the garment of praise. Hallelujah. For the spirit that's trying to make life heavy. You put on the garment of praise for that spirit that's trying to make your life heavy. Put it on. Now, somebody ever say, put it on. Put it on. Come on. Put on that garment of praise, church. Hallelujah. Here's a great idea. Speak a praise phrase. I said, speak a praise phrase, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. I love you, Jesus. I know you're for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that no weapon formed against me will ever prosper. Thank you, Jesus, that you'd all come on, somebody. Speak a praise phrase. God, I praise you. This is how we win the battle. Amen. You put on the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. Speak a praise phrase. Speak a praise phrase. Hallelujah. Everybody say, get a praise phrase. That's how you defeat the tormenting spirits of the mind. You hear me? That's how you defeat the tormenting spirits of your mind. Everybody say, get a praise phrase. Never speak words that make the enemy think he's winning. I said, never speak words that make the enemy think he's winning. Amen. One of the greatest weapons God has ever given you is your mouth. Glory. One of the greatest downfalls God ever gave me, my mouth. Listen to me. One of the greatest weapons God has given you is your mouth. Look what Psalm 149 verse 6 says. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a sword in their hand. Come on, somebody. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. When you're praising God and you're fighting with the sword, oh, that's right. Hallelujah. You let the high praises of God be in your mouth, young lady. Woo! It binds kings and princes. We bind principalities. Listen to me. We bind principalities and powers when we take the word of God in our hand like a sword and we put the high praises of God in our mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how you fight. And that's how you win. Amen. Hallelujah. Deceiving spirits are another form of the demonic world. Deceiving spirits that are deceiving people. There's vexing spirits that torment your mind. They torment people. Heaviness, it comes on people. Discouragement, hopelessness, down. You're depressed. You're just discouraged. You know what the remedy for that is? Praise. Praise. Come on, somebody. Praise music. Speak a praise phrase. Read the book of Psalms. Read the book of Psalms. And then there's what the Bible calls deceiving spirits. Look at 1 Timothy 4:1. It says the Bible, it says the Spirit expressly says, what are we in right now? Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit expressly says, in the times we're living in, right now, amen, some will depart from the faith. Why? Why? Because they're giving heed to what? And demons, there you go. Because they're giving way, the Bible calls them deceiving spirits. Anytime you open yourself up to doctrines of demons and false teachings, you are playing with the power of Satan. Church, listen to me. When you open yourself up to doctrines of demons, you are opening yourself up to the power of Satan in your life. I don't care how many Hollywood hotshots come out and say Scientology is cool, or Islam is cool, or Kabbalah is great, and this religion and that religion, New Age this, New Age that. Leave it alone. You better leave it alone. You're playing with demonic forces. Listen carefully. There are deceiving spirits. You can pick up things when you open the door to Satan's plans through horoscopes, through fortune tellers, through palm readers, through psychics. You don't need a psychic to tell you what your future is. Come on, somebody. The devil can't tell you what your future is going to be for your life. All he can do is put his thoughts in your mind, and then your life will begin to go in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Come on. Amen. Have you ever had somebody say to you, you feel okay, you don't look good. And then you're just all of a sudden like, man. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody come up and be like, yo, man, you okay, you don't look good. And all of a sudden you're like, man, I really. Listen, the enemy is the greatest mind manipulator. He is a great, come on, church. The enemy is a great mind manipulator. He loves to suggest this or just suggest that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I don't need a Chinese fortune cookie to tell me what my future holds. Come on, somebody. I know what my future holds. Whatever comes, I'm in his hands. Hallelujah. I'm safe. I'm secure. Everything's going to be all right. And even when I die, I'm still in his hands. Come on, somebody. I don't need no psychic fortune cookies. They're deceiving spirits. Listen to me, seances. These kind of things, talking with the dead, communicating with the dead. King Saul lost his whole kingdom in 1 Samuel 28 because he went to the witch of Endor. Amen. Stay away from that stuff. Stay away from the occult. Stay away from the dark side stuff. Stay away from it. Oh, it's just games. We went to a party. Well, first of all, what are you doing at that kind of party? Hallelujah. What you doing at that kind of party anyhow? You know, I get a little disturbed because I hear people, they come up and they'll say, well, I'm saved and I'm Holy Spirit filled. People even make comments like, I'm saved and I'm filled with the Spirit. You know, I left my wife and I'm living with a girl now, but I'm still filled with the Spirit. You want me to tell you what kind of Spirit you're filled with? I can do that. You're filled with the spirit of adultery. You're filled with the spirit of immorality. You're filled with an unclean spirit. But you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, because you only get full of what you yield to. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit for him to influence your life. Say amen. You have to yield. Listen, if you yield to lust, you know what's going to happen? Lust is going to get greater in your life. But if you yield to the Holy Spirit is going to get greater in your life. But you have to choose. You have to choose. It's all spiritual, church. You can't have the Holy Spirit and live that kind of life. He will vacate the premises. Say amen. Say amen. You can't live that kind of, the Holy Spirit, listen to me, will vacate the premises. Real talk. I'm trying. Listen to me. They're territorial spirits. It's what they call territorial. Higher level territorial principalities. Las Vegas is gambling. Los Angeles entertainment. New York finances. Washington, D.C. politics and power. Come on. They're territorial, higher level. But can I tell you the remedy to those stronghold principalities is the local church? The remedy to those higher level territorial principalities is the local church. Hallelujah. The only thing that can defeat those kind of principalities is a community of believers that are praying, that are fasting, churches like this, and many other churches across this nation. Hallelujah. And people begin to pray, and people begin to fast, and people begin to push back on that climate, and people begin, come on, church, and we begin to push back on the principalities and the things that are going on in this community. We are a territorial church. Hallelujah. You push back on this stuff and you push back on this power until there's breakthrough. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to get back to praying. I said we got to get back to praying. Amen. This is one thing that I really want you to get in your spirit this morning. Listen carefully. Prayer is the opportunity incubator. You hear me? Prayer is the opportunity incubator. And if you're not getting any opportunities in life, it's because you ain't praying enough. You ain't getting enough opportunities in life. It's because you ain't praying enough. Because if you'll pray, prayer is the opportunity incubator. Hallelujah. The enemy doesn't want us to pray as a church. He wants us to come in here. And he wants us to come to church. He wants us to do church and then leave and leave prayer out of our life and leave God out of our life. Come on. Look, he said in Ephesians 3:10, watch this. This is, look at Ephesians 3:10. It says that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places by the church. Yeah. By the church. Do you hear me? By the church. Y'all don't understand it. The manifold wisdom of God. Churches like this are territorial churches, and we are to pray, and we are to fast, and we are to teach the Word of God. Come on, somebody. And we are to live the Word of God. We are to bind. We are to loose. Come on. We're to stand, and we're to fight for our communities. We are to fight for our schools. We are to fight for our families. We are to fight for our children. We are to fight for our marriages. Hallelujah. We're the church. We're not cowards. Woo. And as we stand, and as we move together, church, listen, one can chase 1,000 to 10,000. That's why hell hates churches like this. That's why hell hates churches like this, especially churches that are teaching stuff like I'm teaching right now. Amen. You don't think the enemy's going to come after hearing this. We just busted his whole plan open. Especially churches that are teaching stuff like I'm teaching right now. Because we're not just here, and it's not just one person praising God. It's hundreds and hundreds of people praising God at one time. Hallelujah. You're piercing the darkness. You're driving back the enemy. And can I tell you, if we really get a revelation of who we are, we teach the principalities and the powers the wisdom of God. Do you understand that? If you really, church, get a revelation of who you are, the manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers in heavenly places is made known by you. Glory to God. Do you understand? You get a revelation of how powerful a church can be. Hallelujah. According to Ephesians 3, by the church. By the church, he said this would happen. So no pressure. No pressure, demon hunters. What do you need to know about demon possession? Oh my God, you believe in demon possession? Well, Hollywood does. I just wish the church would. Hollywood makes a lot of money off of it, don't they? Huh? Oh, my God, you believe in demon possession. It's in this book. Do you believe this book? Oh, four of you? I said, do you believe this book? From cover to cover, it's full of demon possession. Amen? So what do you need to know about that? What do you need to know about it? I believe in demon possession. It's in this book, and I've seen it myself. First of all, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, there should be extreme caution when dealing with this subject, because there are people who are very sensational and they do really stupid things. I'm just being honest with you. People are really sensational and they do stupid things, and it does not bring glory to Jesus Christ. You hear me? But I've seen it. I've dealt with real demon possession, as I'm sure some of you have. Amen. Maybe not demon possession as much as demon oppression. Amen? But I thought about it, and what are the signs that someone is demon possessed? How do you know? One of the first signs that a person is demon possessed is that demons are able to energize people with extraordinary strength. Amen. Look at Mark 5:3. In the case of the demon possessed man, the Bible says right there that they couldn't even restrain the man. They couldn't bind him, not even with chains. He had supernatural strength. They couldn't even bind him, No one could subdue the man. I've seen people like that before. I've seen people like that before. It's not an everyday occurrence, but there are people who become demon-possessed and they're given supernatural strength. Another sign that someone may be demon-possessed is uncontrolled cussing. Come on. It's uncontrolled cursing. When you encounter someone who's demon-possessed, they will blaspheme the name of God over and over and over and over and over and over. And when you begin to pray for them, it's not unusual for them to explode in profanities about God and about his name and cussing God. I'm not saying that every person who cusses, listen to me, that's not a demon, that's your temper. Thank you. Keep on clapping for that one, you little dirty cussers, a little dirty mouse. Come on. I'm not saying everybody that cusses is demon possessed. That's your temper. Calm down a little bit. Amen. Say amen, church. Amen. But certainly almost always an uncontrolled compulsion to blaspheme God's name. When someone is demon possessed, it's not unusual for contortions in their facial features. The countenance of their eyes become glazed. I've seen it. We were in Teen Challenge in Muskegon, Michigan. I was there. And it's almost like you're looking, it really is. It's almost like you're looking into the eyes of somebody that ain't really who you're talking to. The countenance of their eyes become glazed over. They become black rings around their eyes. Amen. I've seen it. People's faces contort. They look different. It's a countenance that comes over them, their eyes. Their voice will many times go to a lower pitch or sound. The personality of a person changes. You can see a total change in their demeanor. Amen. Many times, if someone is demon-possessed, I want you to listen to me very carefully here. Those demons will bring deep depression, despondency, and even suicidal tendencies. It can be a sign of demonic attack. These conditions can go beyond spiritual torment to a person trying to desperately harm themselves or even kill themselves. The demonic of Gadara in Mark chapter 5, he had a self-destructive spirit. The demonic, he would hide in the caves and he would cut himself with stones. And when I see young people and these young girls who starve themselves with anorexia and they cut themselves and then they try to hide the scars and stuff with their pants and they don't know what to do because something is going on and eating them and gnawing at them so bad internally. Amen. It's a sign that there is an evil spirit at the very least oppressing that person. At the very least oppressing that person. A sign. It needs to be dealt with spiritually. Listen to me. It needs to be dealt with spiritually. Get them help if a doctor can help them. But I'm going to tell you that there is no remedy if it is the power of Satan other than the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his name. There is no remedy if it is the power of Satan. Come on, somebody. Other than the blood of Jesus Christ and the name that is above all names. Hallelujah. Extreme caution should be used when discerning whether someone is demon-possessed or not. Don't ever do that. If you suspect that, get an elder. Get someone who is very mature and experienced in spiritual things, and they have the gift of discernment. Let them do it. And just so you know, I want you to listen. I don't allow the devil to take over my church services. Come on, somebody. You better understand that. I don't allow the devil to take over my church services. Somebody's going to manifest, they're going to do it. They ain't going to do it in here. We're going to drag them back out there and cast that demon out of them. I'm not going to give the devil prime time. He don't deserve it. He don't deserve it. You know, I love the way Jesus, are y'all getting anything out of this? Come on, church. Come on, church. I love the way Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't really respect the devil very much. I love the way he was. Guys, we're going to end with a song. Ain't nobody leaving until we're dismissed. I'm going to show you this here. But I love it. I love it because Jesus didn't think very much of the devil. Amen. Do you remember that time when they brought that little boy and he was possessed? They brought this little boy who was possessed in Mark chapter 9. They bring him to Jesus, and you know the disciples had tried to cast the demon out. They prayed. They couldn't do it. So Jesus is standing there, and they bring this guy to him who's possessed by the devil. It's almost funny. And the guy, the Bible says they bring him to him, and you got to read it in Mark chapter 9. The Bible says that he falls on the ground. He starts foaming at the mouth and starts wallowing. That's how you, listen, the Greek word for wallow is waller. Yeah, y'all think about that on the way home. I told y'all before, that's how you know God's from Alabama. Because they go over yonder and they waller. Y'all remember that? Oh, my gosh. Listen to me. Jesus didn't think very much of the devil. He didn't. The Bible says that they brought that boy to him. He's on the ground. He's foaming. He's wallering around. He's flopping around. And I can just see him. I can just see him right now. Jesus is just sitting there. Probably got an apple and a knife. He's probably sitting there. He goes, how long has he been like that? That's what he said. He said, how long has he been like that? And he said, man, he's been like that from birth. And Jesus said in verse 25, look at this. He said, he's like, how long has he been like that? He's been like that from birth. He said, shut up, you deaf and dumb devil. Get out of here. That's all. That's all. He said, shut up, you deaf and dumb. Get on out of here. Go on, get. He did not spend no time on the enemy. He did not respect the devil. All he did was say, come on, you deaf, dumb, stupid, it. Go. Go. The devil don't get prime time. He don't get prime time. You see him, boy. He didn't respect the devil. He didn't respect him at all. Church, listen to me. There's power in the name of Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, but there is something that can cancel the devil's assignment off of your life more than anything else, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to me very carefully. The greatest fear of demons is the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. The application of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the cross provides protection against the powers of Satan and defeat from demonic forces. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The devil cannot cross the bloodline. The devil cannot cross the bloodline, church. The heart that has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ is holy ground, and the devil dare not try to enter it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want us to begin to understand this morning that the enemy is very real. Some of you have been tormented in your minds. Some of you have been listening to deceiving spirits. Some of you may know someone who is so bound and so addicted that there's a possibility of demonic possession or even demonic oppression that is very real. Did you know, as a believer, we have the power and the authority, especially after hearing a message like this? Come on, somebody. As a believer, you have the power and authority to address that evil spirit. And you have the power and authority to say, you will not have my friend, you will not have my cousin, my dad, my mom, alcoholism, drug addiction, immorality, you will not have my family. I plead the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Come on, let's stand to our feet. We're going to worship God all over this room. Nobody leaving, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. I want everybody in this room to be free. I want everybody in this room to be free from demonic influence, free from demonic oppression, secret habits. Come on now. Free from secret habits and all kinds of stuff that Satan may be possessing people with. He's oppressing many lives. Let's believe the power of the name of Jesus can cleanse and set free.